Thy strong word, God's word is our great heritage. Almighty Father, bless the word. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2025 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, the Word of God. Making the Case is Friday, July 18th and Saturday, July 19th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I am a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh,
The Lord be with you.
And with
my spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Continue to send your messengers to preserve your people in true peace, that by the preaching of your word, your church may be kept free from all harm and danger. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. A reading from Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world was crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, even upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable in that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 70 of the elders of Israel, and Nadab and Abihu, were summoned up atop Mount Sinai, along with Moses and Aaron. Exodus chapter 24 records how it was that there they ate and drank what was set before them. The Lord renewed his covenant with his people. Sinai was wreathed with smoke, the cloud of glory, the devouring fire. When Moses came down the mountain, he had to veil his face, for it shone with the reflection of the radiance of the glory of the Lord God, whose word he had been hearing. Again, 70 it was, and two, that the Lord called to himself. St. Luke records how it was. In chapter 9, he says this, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. The greater Moses, Jesus Christ, the radiance of the glory of God, confirmed at his transfiguration by the voice from the cloud. He took on our human nature and veiled his face for a time to be with us, to bear our sin. Descending the mountain, Jesus went down to the cross to atone for all mankind's sin, to renew the covenant in his own crucified and risen and ever-living blood. Thus, the renewed Israel, that is, the Holy Christian Church, we who could not approach the Lord our God through holy Sinai's inaccessible heights, or peer through any veil to see his face, we need fear no more. For the Lord our God, Emmanuel, is present among his people, who has in his self-giving, steadfast love and mercy reconciled us by his own blood. As his name and his righteousness now marks your brow in holy baptism, you are adopted as his son, an heir, a beloved citizen of his kingdom. Abide in, trust in, therefore, that word that has come down from on high to make it so. The kingdom of God has come near to you. It is not your own merits. For Christ's sake, you are already justified and received into the grace of God. The Holy Spirit works through the word and the sacraments to create and sustain saving faith when and where he wills in them that hear the gospel. And so that this saving faith may be obtained, kindled, quickened in the hearts of men, the Lord sends messengers ahead of him to proclaim, apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers, to bespeak his life to a dying world. Now, there is a stark contrast that seems to befall us when considering the situation as it is on the ground. It doesn't seem quite as glorious as all of that glory cloud might make you feel. The meals that will be set before you might not be to your liking. They might not be kosher. They might not be good. There is so much work to do, and there are only a few laborers. The rarefied air of clever quotations differs quite sharply from the situation in rural Chorazin or Capernaum, or a Thursday morning visit to the memory care unit, where they don't speak Greek or Hebrew or Latin. Now you have to learn to communicate with the people who are actually at table with you. And that is difficult, I suspect. And worse yet, the new Israel, the Holy Christian Church, is rent by schism, distressed by heresies, beset by incompetence and wickedness, tares admixed with the wheat. The 72 were sent out right after a whole village had flatly rejected Jesus, and this was not to be a unique situation, was it? The Lord sends out messengers, and what happens to them? Malachi 3 says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." But what did happen to him, to John the Baptist, as he headed off to bear witness? The messengers go on ahead. The messengers get beaten up, physically and psychologically, for the sake of Jesus and for the gospel. Oh, how blessed it is. Oh, how blessed those are who suffer for the name and the confession of Christ Jesus. For such was done to the prophets who went before you. Their reward and yours is in heaven. Jesus did warn us, though. "Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." What kind of tools were they, will you be, armed with? The 72 ministerial shock troopers, as they dropped behind enemy lines in spiritual warfare against the prince of the powers of the air, what did they have? Just words. He says, "Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road." It doesn't seem like enough, does it? It's not district scale, that's for sure. It's not for a comfortable life. What about your dreams, your hopes, your visions of the glorious Gothic cathedrals, the halcyon images of easy confessions of faith? Or the aesthetic, the image of the noble Knights Templar, greeted at the crossroads by ladies in waiting while little blue birds tweet away your time? Does the church consist in an aesthetic? Does the church consist in wonderful stones or beautiful buildings, visible instituted seats of Moses? beware. Beware confusing the glory cloud of the Lord that descends from heaven to earth with a tiny puff of smoke, man-made smoke drifting lazily sideways past Italian power lines. That is not the same spirit. Beauty and order in the church are necessary goods, and we should have them in our institutions. But it is vanity at best, devilish, more likely to confuse worldly aesthetics and power and pomp with the essence of the Christian faith, the Christian church. How does Jesus send the 72? He sends them out. He scatters them in an exodus. They would have to forego trust in worldly goods or appearances, forego hopping from house to house for favors. Man does not live by bread alone, after all. The kingdom of God, for the kingdom, for creation and preservation of saving faith and life in the Holy Christian Church, the authority of the Word is essential. It is in itself enough. Sola Scriptura. God, the Holy Spirit, creates faith when and where He wills by the preaching of the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by that word of God. How can they hear if no one preaches? How can they preach if they are not sent? And so Jesus sends you. The 72 went on their way, sent as they were. And so it was that they did bring the kingdom of God near, because not of themselves or their talents or their powers, not their personality, but because of who sent them and the message that they bore. Jesus charges them. Heal the sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. He who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. What an awesome calling. What a peculiar power. Bespeaking the kingdom, absolving in the stead and by the command of Christ, binding and loosing with his authority, fulfilled in your hearing. No wonder the demons flee. No wonder disease is eased. No wonder consciences are balmed, disordered lives brought back into the way. How is it, after all, that God's kingdom comes? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. And so it is not, after all, up to you, instrument and sent though you might be. Thank God. Judged by the standards of even a brief analysis of power throughout history, the Christian church should have perished from the earth long ago. And yet, much to the surprise of the historians, the gates of hell have not prevailed. They will not prevail. The impossible task is made possible, not by our own reason or rhetoric, but it is accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit through simple, mysterion means. The church consists in the congregation of saints, believers in Christ that he gathers around his word rightly taught, his sacraments faithfully administered. The wind does blow where it wills. So do not despair. Do not give up. Take heart. There are sinners, even in today's milieu, who need a gracious God. There are people walking in darkness who need the light of the world. There are sons of peace, chosen by God, out there who pray. Pray for a pastor to be sent to them. Who will God send? The 72 were surprised when it worked. They were surprised and overjoyed, relieved perhaps, but why shouldn't it have worked? I must admit, I was surprised. I was surprised that sinners actually listened to the word, and they received a word of correction and repented. That's amazing. I was surprised by the joy to see a blessed glimpse, seeing the effects of burdened consciences lifted, a man's body language after the absolution. He was hunched over, bent down by God knows what. And after the absolution, he could stand upright again because his sins were forgiven in his hearing. There is bittersweet joy when bringing the means of grace to dying men. marvel at the depth of Jesus' humility, that he, from heaven above, would condescend to comfort us, to be with us in his body and blood in our darkest hour, and bring his beloved ones out of this veil of tears to the joys of resurrection, singing in hope on their deathbeds. The word works. It is for you, too. Now, this may not seem to you at first like a shining face or a glory cloud, but do not look hard. Stop looking at the schisms rent asunder. Look instead to Christ. Look to the metric that matters. Look to what is written in heaven. The eschaton is, after all, inevitable. Jesus will visit every town and place. Watch. The day of glorification will come. Do not give up hope. You will see it unveiled at the last. Your joy awaits. Your labor is not in vain, because his kingdom comes. So then, eat and drink what is set before you this day, the true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Savior, given to forgive your sins and to strengthen you as you go your way, sent by him. For his word endures forever, and by his grace so will you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the Church Universal, that the Heavenly Father would strengthen all her members in their witness to the resurrection of Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church as she carries out her mission of making known the compassion of the Lord, that many would learn to trust in God's free gift of life and rejoice in the service that they can render toward one another. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the nations of the earth, that God would cause peace and justice to triumph over all forces of violence and tyranny. And for those who are victims of unrest, that God's mercy may attend to them. Let us pray to the Lord. For the elderly, for those in nursing homes, and those in need of ongoing care, that they would not be forgotten, but included in our families and communities, and honored as God has commanded. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who rejoice, that they may give thanks to God and continue to rely on his goodness and mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who know sorrow and pain, including the sick and suffering, that God's healing hand would rest upon them in their time of need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who approach the table of the Lord this day, that they may receive this most holy sacrament worthily by a living faith for the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the saints who have gone before us and now rest from their labors, let us give thanks to God that we would remain faithful even to death and be brought to share in the joy of eternal life with them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
The true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you, steadfast in the one true faith unto everlasting life. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.